Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 7:06 on this Friday morning in the nation's capital. Thanks for joining us. It's Larry O'Connor alongside Patrice Onwuka. And coming up later in the program at 7:35, John Solomon's going to join us and give us what he's learned by his first look at those January 6 Capitol Hill videos that he's got an exclusive look at. Also coming up at 8:05, Steve Moore of Heritage will talk about the debt ceiling deal, how it might affect the economy. Patrice Onwuka, it's good to see you always on a Friday.
Happy Friday, Larry.
You know, I'm actually at Hofstra University this morning.
Wonderful.
Nobody knows that because, you know, it doesn't. They won't know where I am. They just hear my voice. It's like I might as well be sitting right next to you in the studio. But I'm actually in Hofstra University. There's a conference up here for talk radio industry. And do you know what I've learned? Do you know what I've learned up here?
What have you learned?
Some of the we got some fine broadcast students here in studio who are helping us out. We got Danny and Alexis are here.
Okay.
And they're Alexa. Excuse me, Alexa. I don't like to say Alexa because now I know everybody's Amazon thing is like binging in their house. But Danny and Alexa are here. And Danny said that one of his professors said that these are broadcast students. They're communication students who are learning broadcasting. One of his professors said that they should listen to our show.
Really?
He's been listening to our show from Hofstra to learn everything not to do.
Yeah,
basically
we're
the professor.
Isn't that what they said,
Danny? Oh no! Apparently, we. Yeah. So that's kind of so you never know who's listening, Patrice.
That
you could
true.
Be molding the broadcasters of a new generation.
Well, I'm proud. I mean, Danny and Alexa, you guys are going to be great, and you're learning from the best in the business.
Patrice Onwuka.
No, I'm talking
exactly.
about you, Larry.
That's right. So that's pretty very fun. So thank you for hosting us. It's the student radio, but it's nothing like a student radio station, WRHU, up here in Long Island, Hofstra University. All right. Ben Shapiro, of course, our colleague Ben Shapiro, who has a pretty good podcast, as you also hear on his radio program here on WMAL in the evenings. He and the folks at Daily Wire presented the documentary movie What is a Woman? Probably the most important documentary of last year. You know that it's important. You know that it actually made a difference. You know that it was very popular because it didn't get any nominations for Oscars. So you know it's the kind of documentary that actually is good. Matt Walsh, of course, was the focal point of that. And he asked a simple question. He talked to Did we have some audio from the – do we have any of that? Audio from the movie? No, that's okay. We'll get it in a minute. But just a reminder, and we talked about it, and we played quite a bit of it. Basically, this is a documentary movie that you got through Daily Wire. You know, you pay a fee for a Daily Wire subscription, and you get to see this documentary movie. And they did millions and millions of people saw it. And he basically explored the transgender activist community. He sat down with psychologists and doctors and all the smart people who are now sort of redefining what it is to be a man and a woman. And ultimately, he asked a simple question. What is a woman? And all these brilliant people who have these advanced degrees, the people who are actually rewriting how our children are raised and what we even are, how we behave in public policy with regard to who's allowed in a men's room and women's room and locker room and who's allowed to compete in sports, all the, and then these drastic, horrific chemical alterations of prepubescent children, not to mention the surgical alterations of these beautiful bodies that have never, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're hacking them up and mutilating them. None of these brilliant minds could answer that simple question, what is a woman? And it's a very moving and very powerful documentary. Last night, Daily Wire presented this for the first time for free for anyone to watch on their Daily Wire Twitter feed. This was something that they'd agreed to with Elon Musk ahead of time. I think they're trying to work out a pretty big media deal with Musk and Twitter, to tell you the truth, because 2 weeks ago they announced that they're going to start streaming all their podcasts for free, the video podcasts for free on Twitter.
Something's up.
Well, because Twitter now has monetization, they have subscriptions, they have revenue sharing. I mean, they're not dumb over there. Jeremy Boring, the CEO of Daily Wire, he knows what he's doing. So I think there's a big deal going on with Twitter here. So part of this new venture was to present the movie for free to everybody on Twitter. You just click on it and watch it right there within the Twitter platform. And what happened was Twitter started to censor it. Twitter presented it with warning language, saying that some might find this offensive. Twitter prevented people from retweeting it.
Yes.
Sharing it, putting it, you know, and suddenly it's and this was happening in real time. Were you watching this happen in real time?
Well, I caught the Jeremy Boring's Twitter feed announcement about it yesterday. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so he started to, and as it was happening, they were like, "Well, what the hell's going on here? We're trying to we put the movie out there. We're trying to share it. Nobody can see it. It's got a warning label." And it's like, "I'm sorry, I thought Elon Musk said Twitter was free now. I thought we had free speech. I thought we were allowed to do this." Elon Musk purchased Twitter. The idea to purchase Twitter was because Babylon Bee got suspended because they were making a satirical joke about Rachel Levine. Right, the transgender official in the Health and
Biden
Human
administration.
Services.
Yeah.
So I mean, the whole thing, you know, you can't don't silence people if they have an opinion. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing offensive in this movie unless you have a political agenda. So it was a remarkable thing to watch.
Well, apparently, the reason why Twitter flagged it was for misgendering. So on two occasions in the movie, I guess some, for example, a business owner referred to a male customer who is dressed as a woman as a man, and that was a violation of Twitter's Twitter's policy. You know, this is a 1-year anniversary of this movie being out. What a great time, considering so much has happened over the past year, to revisit this conversation. And let's not forget, part of what is a woman is that it came up in the context of Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination process to the Supreme Court. And she couldn't answer that question, a question that started because I think because of this this documentary. So.
Right.
It's been interesting to see full circle a year later. We're kind of back at where we started.
Sadly. Well, Elon Musk engaged in all of this as it was happening in real time. And he said that this is, you know, I don't know who's doing this, but it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And he claimed he was trying to fix it. I don't know. I can tell you in the middle of this drama, the vice president of trust and safety, which is basically a fancy title for the person in charge of censoring, she resigned. In the middle, she announced her resignation, Ella Irwin. She announced her resignation while this Twitter drama unfolded before our eyes.
So she's pretty much putting her finger on her nose.
Saying, it's me. One wonders if she resigned or if she was fired for censoring this.
Either way.
Or if Elon Musk said, what are you doing? Take this off. And she said, well, you'll do it off for my dead body. And so she walked out. But let me just be clear here, because you just said, and that's the reason they gave is because of offensive misgendering, which violates her policy. Let me just be clear here. Let me be clear, because this is where we are now in America on June 2nd, 2023. Somebody in this documentary movie calls a human being with a penis a man, and they say that that is misgendering, when in fact it is properly gendering somebody. I mean, I'm sorry, but it is the truth. I will die on this hill. If you have male anatomy, you are a male, and they are saying that's misgendering. That's how Orwellian this is. When you properly identify a person's gender, you are accused of misgendering. How did we get here, Patrice?
Well, how we got here is because a lot of the levers of power are being pulled by people like this woman, the former head of the VP of
Trust and Safety,
Miss Ella Irwin. People like her have been pulling the levers of power in government and in the tech space, where, you know, they've government and the tech industry have worked hand in hand to suppress opposing viewpoints and to push down a narrative that's patently false.
But you're right. But I guess what frustrates me even more is that this is not suppressing opposing viewpoints. It's suppressing a fact. It's suppressing the truth. And they're lying to suppress that truth, because they're saying, oh, you're misgendering someone. That's not what you're doing. You're identifying a fact. They don't like that fact, so they want to label you a bigot. And that's the world we're living in right now. And I hope you all know what time it is. I mean, literally and metaphorically. Literally at 7:15.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
On the next Vince Colonnais Show, Joe Biden just fell over on another stage, and Democrats have never been more nervous. Join us 3 to 6 right here on WMAL.
It's true. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk about that coming up as well. Joe Biden fell down, and it's not funny at all. There is nothing funny.
I'm not smiling anymore. You see that? I got it out in the 5 a.m. hour. So
that's because you know that every time you see this frail old man look like he's on the verge of, well, not being able to walk, the specter is looming over the nation of Kamala Harris as commander-in-chief.
And the time has come for us to reclaim the time that's passed so that we can look to the future from what was to what will be forever, evermore. Amen.
Oh, that'll be her inauguration address.
That will be the speeches.
Oh, God.
Those are going to be her speeches. Can you wait? Okay. All right. Sorry.
Well, if we can dodge that bullet, we will have a new president, it looks like, in 2024. I'd like to think so, at least.
Let's hope so.
And if it's a Republican, it will be, at the moment, if you believe the polls, it'll be Donald Trump or potentially Ron DeSantis. I mean, it's game on now. It's been a week since Ron DeSantis officially announced, and they're both mm-hmm. in Iowa. They're mm-hmm. actually doing the traditional build-up to the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primaries. And a moment happened on the campaign trail that President Trump should be prepared for. And it's something that he's going to have to address, because there's a big issue within the Republican ranks having to do with the COVID so-called vaccine. I say so-called vaccine because a vaccine is something that you put into your body that gives you antibodies that prevent you from catching the virus and keep you from spreading the virus. And, of course, as we know, this shot didn't do either of those things. I mean, if you believe the doctors who were proponents of it, and I have no reason to not believe them, I suppose. the antibodies that they give you will give you a milder case, or will mm-hmm. give you make you better equipped to fight the virus if you get it. But I think the jury's still out on that too. Actually, I mean, you know, the funny thing
compared
about vaccines,
to natural immunity,
you should spend good time testing it probably before you make claims, and certainly before you force people to get it. That said, President Trump, mm-hmm. of course, has taken credit for this shot, and so on the campaign trail, he was challenged about that. Take a listen to what he had to say.
As RNC members around the country, and we have lost people because you supported the jab. What do you think you would do different?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody wanted a vaccine at that time. And I was able to do something that nobody else could have done, getting it done very, very rapidly. But I never was for mandates. I thought the mandates were terrible. And you know, there's a big portion of the country that thinks that was a great thing. You understand that. Not a lot of the people in this room, but there is a big portion.
So he's kind of, so he says, I was always against mandates, which he was, but he's also saying, but he's sort of taking credit. He says, listen, the vaccine was a great thing. There's a lot of people in this country who think it was a great thing. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get it and nobody else could. And this is going to be an interesting needle for him to thread, I think, to sort of
in
support of the vaccine and take credit for the vaccine when a lot of people who want to vote for him are not so happy about the vaccine.
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, a lot of his Republican opponents, I don't think they're going to be vocal as saying, you know, I don't support the vaccine. It was a horrible idea to begin with. So at best, at worst, I mean, his biggest challenge on this will be from Joe Biden. And Joe Biden has thanked President Biden for President Trump for giving him credit for developing the vaccine, which then Biden distributed and forced mandates on. So while I don't think President Trump would lose support among his ardent supporters over the jab, as they referred to it as, it raises an opportunity for him to distinguish himself from Joe Biden and say, hey, I wanted it always to be voluntary, not mandatory. And that's the difference between us. That's the difference between how we would govern.
Speaking of the vaccine, there's a new study out that shows an estimated, it's not even a new study, an estimated 94% of people as of November of last year, an estimated 94% of people in the U.S. have been infected with COVID-19 virus at least once. This is according to, as of November. It is a new paper, but it's as of November. This is according to Harvard School of Public Health. Now, if you think you haven't had, so the point of this is there's a lot of people saying, I never had it. Actually, you probably did.
You probably did, yeah.
You probably didn't. You didn't even know it.
Yes.
Right? But that's a good thing because natural immunity is the way to go.
That's right.
Natural immunity is actually the thing that will, it appears, according to, the, again, if you're listening to me for medical advice, you're actually going to die. Okay, you can do better than me for medical advice, but I can tell you what I see and what I hear from reports and what I hear from studies, and most doctors are now saying that the best protection is natural immunity because, well, I mean, we've all sort of known that, haven't we? Isn't that sort of basics?
Well, and it could also be that the strains of the virus, which, you know, the first two or three seem to have been these mutations that seem like Godzilla.
Right.
And now maybe they're actually – they never were as Godzilla-like as they were promoted as. Maybe they were just strains that, you know, an evolving virus changed into, mutated into, but still had even milder impacts on people. So, I mean, I think I think it's – maybe it's challenging us to recognize that we've been sold a bad snowball of lies, frankly.
Well, they had an election to win. It's 7:23. Patrice, I know you're like me. You like to listen to the music the kids listen to, right?
I do.
I know. Actually,
Wait a minute. No, actually, what? I don't, because the music is unintelligible. You can't understand a word they're saying these days.
Well, not all of them. Wait, what are
Once in a while, you'll find a good song.
I'm sorry. Are you going to tell me to get off your lawn? What is going on here? You sound like you're 97 years old.
Once in a while, you'll find a good song. You can't even understand the lyrics these days. After mid 2000s, it went downhill from there.
All right. Well, I have young children. Well, not young. I have teenage children and kids in their 20s. So I understand what's going on in the modern music scene just by sort of listening to what they're listening to. And there are some good. And so whenever a group that I know because my kids listen to them is in the news, I was like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. Like Paramore. Do you know Paramore?
No.
See, I know Paramore.
Okay.
And Panic of the Disco?
No.
See, Patrice, come on, man.
I mean, my toddler's 21 not Pilots? Listening to this.
Right.
No.
The lead singer for Paramore has dabbled into politics. Her name is Hayley Williams, and she's given – so now I would call this a reverse endorsement of Governor Ron DeSantis. She has come out, and she's told her fans at a concert that if you vote for Ron DeSantis, you're effing dead to me. She said that during a Memorial Day weekend performance because nothing says Memorial Day like I'll kill you if you exercise your vote that I disagree with.
Hmm.
But see, to me, that's sort of a reverse endorsement, right? It's like not only has Ron DeSantis got the Riley Gaines vote, but she's got the anti-Paramore vote. That's
for those people who know who Paramore is, I mean, maybe it means something. I don't know.
All right, fine. You don't know Paramore. They're good. Trust me. They're not a good bad. That they're terrible politically. Meanwhile, we have a cut? All right, we'll listen to Paramore. Here's Paramore.
Okay.
I'll be happy to tell you, I'm very comfortable talking politics. I just... And if you vote for Ron DeSantis, you're to me.
I love that. I love that they're cheering that. All right, fine. I thought we were going to listen to Paramore music. All right, so that's her. Congratulations. All right, meanwhile, the May ratings are in for cable news, Patrice, and Fox News...
Yeah.
This is, you know, we started the month by them parting ways with Tucker Carlson, right?
Yes.
So what's the end result? As the May numbers show that Fox lost a full third of their viewers across the board. Not just in that Tucker Carlson time slot. Across the board, a third of their viewers have gone elsewhere.
That is a huge migration.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'm just looking at Hannity is trending on Twitter. I looked through what it is. The town hall that Fox News had hosted by Hannity and featuring President Trump, the whole back of the room, empty rows. You only see just a few people in the front. I don't know. That might tell us something.
It's 7:30. John Solomon next. 7:36 here on O'Connor & Company. Thanks for joining us and letting us be a part of your morning. Coming up at 8:05, Steve Moore of Heritage Foundation. Talk about that debt deal and how it might affect the economy or not. I'm Larry O'Connor with Patrice Onwuka. And Patrice, look who it is.
Happy Friday. Yeah.
Happy Friday to you. It is a Friday. For God's sake, it's going to be 90 degrees and sunny.
I know.
John Solomon. John Solomon is not going to be going to the beach. He's not going to be outside sunny. He's too busy. He's working his tail off at Just the News. JustTheNews.com. And also, by the way, children's book author, new book, Hidden Headlines, A Seymour Clues Mystery. John, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
You're busy because you're one of the handful of journalists who have been given access to the January 6th video footage, the security footage inside the Capitol. So, I mean, before we even get into the scoop that you got last night on this, what's this process like? How big is your team going through this? This has to be a daunting task.
Yeah, listen, there's a few of us, or two or three of us, that have gone through the video footage over many weeks now, trying to identify things. And also, one of the benefits we've had a lot of Capitol Police whistleblowers come to us over the last year and a half. And so there were specific moments and times and incidents that we knew to look for. And that helps sometimes when you've got a little guidance from people who lived through that event that day. And so you sit at a computer, you watch things for a while, you make requests to clip things, and then you wait for them to send them to you. And eventually you get them and you can start doing the reporting and do this. And so we did the very first release last night of the new video footage. It shows Nancy Pelosi's Hollywood-style exit from the Capitol on January 6th. She has often talked about how traumatic it was to have to flee the Capitol, but when you watch the video footage, she arranged for her daughter to walk ahead of the security detail, sometimes walking around or in front of them, to film her so that she would have footage to make a movie at HBO with. And it puts a very different spin on the exit. It looks as though Democrats were trying to make a movie out of a tragedy in real time. And when we got to the Capitol Police Chief at the time, Steve Sutton, he was fired, of course, over the episode. He said, listen, that hampered my security detail. They're not supposed to be taking care of media, and they're not supposed to be walking around a camera. They're supposed to get people out right away. And, oh, by the way, because she brought her daughter along, it left her security detail one short in the armored car that whisked her away. So it had real security consequences beyond the optics.
Well, John, I mean, I think that's really helpful because I think we all saw, understood that her daughter was capturing these moments and that it seemed contrived. And so now it's great that you provided even more context to not just that it's true, it was contrived, but also that there were security implications for her and there and the ability for people to, you know, to actually ensure that she was removed safely.
Well,
but can we
if I could, just real, Patrice, the story that the Pelosi, they made it sound like she barely got out by the skin of her teeth, and it was one of the most terrifying moments of her life, that they were beating each other. And it was like they were literally setting up the shot for her daughter to make sure they captured her. For a documentary film, it was like it's nothing that they told us, but we should have expected that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patrice.
Yeah. Well, I actually wanted to shift gears just a little bit because there we got some other big headlines here, John, and you've been talking obviously about the FBI chief. You know, whether he's facing contempt from Congress for slow walking this form that details an allegation against President Biden and his potential corruption.
Yeah.
You know, what do you make of the situation right now? I think we were all frustrated by it.
You guys always have great questions and timely questions. Just a few minutes ago, literally just a few minutes ago, I just reported on the record from James Comer and the FBI that the FBI has relented. Chris Wray has blinked, and he's agreed to bring the document up to Congress at Capitol Hill, let them see it. James Comer finds this a satisfactory resolution. That will happen on Monday. So Congress has won. Contempt will be off the table temporarily, long as the FBI director follows through. But a significant development, a win for James Comer. The FBI, I think, tried to accommodate. I think they found the right accommodation that meets the compliance with the subpoena, gives Congress what it needs, but also allows them to spend some time with the chairman explaining why this document's raw intelligence, why it wasn't fully investigated. I think that's going to be the headline eventually. Mm-hmm. But I think a good resolution from a tense couple of weeks between Congress and the FBI.
And that is the headline there, John Solomon, if I could follow up, because the question isn't whether a FBI asset said that potentially then-Vice President Biden was in a pay-for-play scheme with a foreign national. I mean, that should be a headline. Mm-hmm. But the real headline here is it appears the FBI didn't do much to investigate it. And put that in contrast to all of the things that they did investigate when the elected official didn't have a D after their name.
That's right. When it's an R, like Trump, everything gets investigated, right? But remember what John Durham just told us just a couple of weeks ago. There were four, not one, not two, but four investigations of Hillary Clinton that were had credible evidence, and the FBI agents believed they should have been proceeding, including ones involving a pay-to-play scheme at the Clinton Foundation, and all of them got shut down by senior FBI officials in the middle of the 2016 election, yeah. right as they were launching the Trump-Russia collusion bogus investigation. So that's a backdrop, right? We have an yeah. absolute validated proof of double treatment, Republicans getting treated differently than Democrats. In this case, I believe what we will learn over the next few weeks, and I hope to report on some of this over the weekend, we're going to find out that this information came in, it was being processed, and then a memo was written suggesting, hey, this might be, I know you're going to laugh at this, Russian disinformation, we probably shouldn't investigate it. And I'm pretty sure this, yeah, I know, we've heard this story before. It's all over again. So I think we're going to learn that. But let's go through the process, see where James Comer goes. But that's what my FBI sources and others are telling me.
So, John, the other big story here in D.C. is obviously the debt ceiling yeah. deal that has now crossed the both parties, that has been agreed upon by both parties and voted for and passed both houses of Congress, goes to the president's desk. Is it a win for McCarthy? I mean, I've been saying it is. I think it's a win for conservatives. Not the best deal, but certainly it's a deal. What's your take?
Yeah, listen, I think there are two levels to look at this, right? I think on the American public's level, the everyday Americans who aren't into the weeds of the details, they like when a leader strikes a bipartisan deal, averts a debt crisis. The good faith and credit of the United States will not be damaged over the next 18 months. I think most Americans are going to take that headline and say, hey, Kevin McCarthy keeps surprising us. He got a bipartisan deal. Oh, no, he got a bipartisan deal on the China investigation. I like what he's doing. I think that's how it's going to play across America. I think the polling will reflect that over the next couple of days. Internally, Kevin McCarthy has just made his situation worse because the 42 members of the Freedom Caucus do not like this deal. They believe it was a capitulation, that there was a moment to play a game of chicken with Biden and get much, much deeper spending cuts. And why that's consequential long term, with only three or four votes, now they only have three votes to spare, as one of the members of Congress from Utah, Chris Stewart, is resigning because of a family health emergency. He's going to need those 42 people, and these are very strongly ideological members of Congress. They may not back him on future things. So how Kevin McCarthy navigates the next few weeks could determine the next 18 months of his speakership. Here's my prediction. I think Kevin McCarthy will come back to the table next week now that the deal's done, let Joe Biden sign it and say, hey, I set these caps. It doesn't mean we have to hit them. Why don't we go and cut 3%, 4%, 5% for the 2024 budget?
Yeah.
If he does that and he constructively engages the Freedom Caucus, he can navigate and keep winning. But I think the American people see this as a win. For Kevin McCarthy, he's acutely aware that his right flank, well, they've turned their backs on him right now, and there's going to be a lot of repair work to be done.
Yeah, John Solomon, real fast, like 20 seconds, can you give us a hint as to what other timestamps you're looking at in those J6 videos? What moment?
Monday, you're going to see an extraordinary security failure. Hundreds of people were allowed through a door because of a mistake made by security. It's going to be jaw-dropping. Almost half the people that went in the Capitol went in from a different direction we've never seen before. When you see it, you're going to understand what a horrible security vulnerability was there. And it's been kept secret for 2 years.
We've got to wait all weekend for it, but we'll see it at justthenews.com. John Solomon, always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
7:45.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You know, Patrice, the drag shows are not just the dominion of RuPaul and the handful of oddities he presents on his reality show. No. We're all drag queens now.
No, we're not, but...
No, we really aren't. But
I'm listening.
We broke this yesterday on the program, but it is official. Nevada's Nellis Air Force Base has officially stopped their third annual drag show that they were going to do on base. The show was scheduled until Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley intervened. Apparently, they were alerted to this fact during an open congressional hearing. I remember Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, saying, why are you guys letting drag shows on the military bases? And they're like, we don't have drag shows on the military bases. No, here it is. Here's a flyer for it, for God's sake. And now, apparently, you know, that doesn't really, I mean, apparently they were on top of the drag shows at military bases in the same way they were on top of the pullout in Afghanistan. One had much more tragic end result than the drag shows did.
But and both of which do not help recruitment efforts.
In any way whatsoever. In any way whatsoever. But there you go. You won't be seeing a drag show at the Nellis Air Force Base. That said, I saw the U.S. Navy put out there. They have their pride decorations on their Twitter feed now. There's little rainbows on their wings of their, you know. We've gone a year ago, it was Top Gun Maverick, and it boosted recruitment in the Navy. And now Maverick's planes have rainbows on them, and they look like they just flew off the set of My Little Princess or My Little Pony.
My Little Pony.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? Well, I know what you're going to do. You're going to vote for a different commander in chief because this, let me just point out, this was going to be the third annual drag show at the Air Force Base. Third annual, and it's 2023. So let's see, 2021 was the first annual. Who was? Oh, yeah, I see. Okay. I'm connecting the dots. New president, new policy, new drag queens.
With the DEI initiatives everywhere. Yes, that's what it means.
Meanwhile, when Joe Biden is not throwing drag queens on the stage at an Air Force Base, he's appointing them to high levels in the Department of Energy, allowing them to have classified access to our nuclear waste secrets. Of course, I'm referring to the ex-nuclear Biden official, Sam Brittain. He, the man with the bald head, the red lipstick, the mustache, and he wears stripper shoes and dresses that he stole by absconding with their suitcases. Seriously, this is the greatest story of the Biden administration.
It
encapsulates his presidency. Well, we have an update on Sam Brittain. He's now out on bond. You'll remember he was in the all-male prison up there in Montgomery County, right on the border of Frederick County there. He was in that male facility where I understand he was very popular.
I'm sure they love the high heels, yeah.
He's out on bond after 2 weeks in jail over the suitcase theft. So if you're wandering around Bethesda or the greater Montgomery County area in Maryland, you may see our pal Sam.
So if you,
I'd keep an eye on him if he walked into your store, though.
Well, it's not the airport, so he might not steal the clothes off your rack, just the luggage from Dulles. But if you saw him, Larry, and you knew right away it's Sam, what do you say to him? Do you like do an interview, pull out your camera, and then get some really good audio of him? What would you ask him?
Gosh, that's a great question. I mean, if I just happened to see him in a restaurant or a store or something, I'd probably
Just
try
walking
to find,
on the sidewalk.
You know, if it's not professional, I would try to, you know, if I was forced to have a conversation, I'd find something we agree on. Like, I'm guessing he likes Broadway musicals like I do. We discuss show tunes, perhaps.
I might ask him, who are you wearing? That is quite an outfit.
Are they aware that you're wearing it?
Well, exactly. So you get him, you kind of give him a backhanded compliment, right? And then you sneak in with, okay, and when did you show me the receipts? When did you buy it, or did you steal it from a black immigrant woman at the airport?
Yes.
And then watch him just light up, and either he'll hit you, which is an even better story. Yeah, I mean, imagine Sam Brittain hits Larry. Walking on the street for asking him who he's wearing.
No,
I mean,
the last thing I want is to be decked by a drag queen. That's embarrassing.
Decked by a dude, right?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Ooh. Well, I don't mean getting punched by a dude, but a dude in a dress. There's something kind of humiliating about that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Well,
moving on. On a more serious note, a mother in Oklahoma is suing her daughter's school. Her daughter, this harkens right back to Loudoun County, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the horrific sexual assault that occurred in a girl's room in a high school out there, as you know, Stonebridge High School. Mm-hmm. A girl was attacked in an Oklahoma girl's bathroom in a school by a transgender student, by a biological male, identifying as a woman so that he could gain access to the women's room. Mm-hmm. And this young girl is alleging that she was attacked. And now the mother is suing the school system. That, honestly, that's the only way these policies change.
That's right.
When it just becomes way too expensive because of all the lawsuits. And so
And you know what cannot be hidden as much as possible to identify that it's not just an attacker, but an attacker using a transgender moniker to get access, a predator using transgenderism to get access to victims. That's the key issue. That's the key here in this.
It is 7:54. All right, coming up in the big 8 o'clock hour, we're going to sit down with our friend Steve Moore. He's an economist at Heritage Foundation, of course, and everyone's talking about the deal and the politics and the debt and the spending. But what does it actually mean to our economy? Is it going to make a difference? And if so, what difference will it make? Steve Moore, he'll answer those questions. But most importantly, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to, again, address the fact that our president is constantly falling down on his face, and it's hilarious, and we'll talk about it.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.